I want to thank you for inviting me into your church. Well, thank you. It's what a blessing it is to be here to share a little bit about what's happening at the Haven Arrest Ministries and the people that we're dealing with down at the Haven Arrest. Before we get into that, I do want to open up in a word of prayer. And I'd like to share briefly a little bit about how did I come to the Haven Arrest. I've been at the Haven Arrest for 20 years, and I'd like to share a little bit of what led me to the Haven Arrest, and then we'll go into sharing about what's happening at the Haven Arrest, and we'll share God's Word also in the midst of this. So let me go before the Lord here in prayer. Well, dear Heavenly Father, I do thank you for this congregation. I thank you for Pastor Bruce and the friends here who support this ministry and pray for it. And Lord, I do pray for this time I have to share. I pray that the Holy Spirit would be here today and that hearts would be changed and touched. We pray all this in Christ's name. Amen. Like I said, I'd like to thank Pastor Bruce for inviting me down. I think Mary King called me a while back, and I was excited to come down. We do speak at a lot of different churches, Reverend Ben Walker and several other staff will speak at churches because churches are interested in knowing what's going on at the Haven Arrest. But before I share about that, let me share a little bit about my background. In Isaiah 55, verse 8, it says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways, saith the Lord, my ways." If you would have asked me when I was little or when I was growing up that I'd be serving at the Haven Arrest Ministries, I would have said, no way. I grew up in a parochial church and went into a Catholic church, raised as a Catholic, and had a great resource of friends and people that I fellowship with, and went through high school and went to college. And somewhere in the midst of college, things started changing for me personally. Started questioning my faith. There were just a lot of things that I started asking and praying about. And one of the things that I was struggling with for me personally was there was a void. And in Proverbs 16:9 it says, "In their hearts, humans plan their course, but the Lord establishes their steps." Going to a parochial school for 8 years and a public for 4, my focus was on college and entering into the business world. After graduating from college, I went to New York, and I became a stockbroker. And it was a very unusual experience, to say the least. It was not a good experience. I got to really see at that level what the financial market and being a broker in New York was about. Coming home from New York, I stayed and worked at a local brokerage industry for a little while, and I eventually started into my own business in the Akron area. I was not serving the Lord at this time, and my life was wondering and asking God, how do I get back into church? Because I was not actually going to the Catholic Church anymore. Well, God uses everything, and in my business, the Lord started blessing my business, and in the midst of that, He started, people I was actually bringing into my business were all Christians. And every time I'd hire somebody, they'd start talking to me about the Lord and invite me to church, which I obviously said no to for a while. Well, it was an evening, I was doing some work, and I had actually my younger sister who was serving the Lord. She had broken away from the Catholic Church and is now serving. She had was working with me one evening. It was on a Wednesday night. I'll never forget it. And I was dropping her off at her church. And I pulled into the parking lot. It was a church, actually, an inner city church close to the Haven Arrest. And I pulled in, and I dropped her off. And as I dropped her off, it was somewhere between 7:30, 8 o'clock at night, they were finishing up their Wednesday night service. And there was two girls, I'll be honest with you, two girls came walking out. And I asked my sister, because one caught my attention. I said, who is that girl? And she gave me her name. I asked her if I could get her phone number and if I could take her out. She said, sure. So I got her phone number, called her, and first thing she said to me is, you have to go through the leadership of the church. And I said, what do you mean you have to go through the leadership of the church? He says, the leadership is discipling me because she was a new Christian coming out of a Jehovah's Witness background. So I had to go through the leadership of the church, which I said, well, that should be no problem. Well, that was a problem. I called this gentleman, and we're actually great friends now. Well, not at the time. When I called him, I asked him if I could take this girl out, and he said no. And I said, well, what do you mean no? He said, well, you're not serving the Lord, you're not going to church. And he went through this whole list of things, and I was furious. I'll be honest with you. But I knew what he was saying was truth. And I hung up the phone, and one of the last things he said to me was, he actually said, we'd like to have you at church. So I hung up the phone, furious and mad, and started praying about this. And I started going to a Wednesday night service. And read the elders, the leaders, pastors, everybody was concerned about me coming in. But the Lord started working in my life there. And it was about 2 months going to Wednesday night and then starting to go to Sunday that there was an altar call where I gave my life to the Lord. Things changed, excuse me, things changed rapidly for me. I'm sorry about that. Things changed very rapidly for me when the Lord got a hold of my heart. One of the things that the Lord had told me to do was to go back to all my friends and tell them that things cannot be the same, which I did. Everybody understood. But there was no connection there. So the Lord started working in my heart. Major changes started happening in my life. And eventually, this girl that I seen, it was about 6 months later, I was about to take her out. After 6 months, we went back about a year later and asked if we could get married. And believe it or not, they said we wanted another year of discipleship with both of you. So we waited another year, and 2 years later we got married. And the Lord's blessed us with 7 children. So in saying all that, the business was doing well. And after about 6 years, the Lord spoke to my heart and he said, I'm going to move you into a new direction. And I didn't understand what that meant. So about the 6 years, things started changing in my business. Things started to actually close down. I ran a cleaning company, a janitorial company in Canton, Akron, and Cleveland. So some of the businesses that I was working with, some of them came into some financial problems because we were in a tough economy. So as those started closing down, I started praying to the Lord about this new direction. I was down at church in an evening, and I seen this application for Haven Arrest Ministries Evening Supervisor. And I looked at it, and I said, there's no way I want to move in that direction. But I called my wife. And she said, I think you should probably look at that and see what the Lord does. So I made the call, got an interview, and about 3 months later, I was hired in at the Haven Arrest as an evening supervisor, working from 3:30 to 11:30 in the evening time. Now, this was working with our men coming in the emergency shelter, working with them and ministering to them, because there was many still come in that were dealing with multiple problems. And I'll share a little bit more about how things have changed over the years. Well, there were some growth and some changes that occurred in the ministry, and some people were retiring. I moved into becoming the residential manager, then eventually became the director of the men's division. And then for the last 7 years, I've become the executive director. And I can't believe where the Lord has done in my life and what he's brought me through. Well, in saying all that, many of you are familiar with the Haven Arrest Ministry. So that's kind of a nutshell of what's happened to me over the last 20 years. And the story of its beginning back in 1943. So let me take you back here now into, that's my little history. Now let me take you back into some history of the Haven Arrest. Reverend C.T. Thomas and his wife Marjorie answering God's call to rescue ministry was serving men at that time who had strictly alcohol addictions. The missions operated in a storefront building on 41 North Howard Street. But before that mission door opened, because of the songs that we were saying here, Jesus saves. We all need to be saved. I needed to be saved. Reverend C.C. Thomas and his wife Marjorie had to be saved. Reverend Thomas had to be saved. Before the mission began, they had their own struggles in life. Reverend C.C. Thomas and his wife. Their marriage was struggling. If it was not for an invite by a person to have them come to a gospel concert, which they went to because they both liked music, who knows what would have happened. But when they went, their lives were forever changed as they gave their lives to Christ. Today, through the Lord's leading, we have a campus setting of three buildings located on Market Street in Akron. We have been at this location for 43 years. Close to 18% of our staff who are employed at the mission at one time came through our mission doors needing help. Much has changed over the last 74 years, but one thing that has not changed is that we are a Christ-centered organization that presents the gospel of Jesus Christ because we believe that it is where true change takes place in the heart. In Hebrews 13, verse 8, it says this. It says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. His words are powerful, as it says in Hebrews 4, 12. For the word of God is alive and active. It's not idle, it's sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to the dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and the attitudes of the heart. For 20 years, I have been a witness to seeing how God, through His Word, has changed lives that were in total chaos. And I can assure you, the lives that come to the Haven of Rest are in chaos. We need His presence at the Haven of Rest. We need His Word. We need His wisdom and His leading as we minister to the many women, men, and children that are seeking help. We know this for a fact, that addiction has no boundaries because it affects every social class that exists. Whether you come out of a generational poverty, middle class, or upper class, it has hit home. You read about it in the paper. Heroin addiction has caused devastation in many lives, as well as many other addictions that are out there. Over 200 overdoses just in Summit County last year in the month of June. I was just up in Columbus at a conference, and it said this, that in Ohio, 8 Ohioans are dying per day of overdose. That's over 2,920 lives per year just off for overdose. The mission recognized this problem 3 years ago as men and women were coming to the mission controlled by this horrendous, horrendous addiction. And it's just not the heroin. There are multiple addictions that are going on. And these people that are, we call them guests, they're coming to our mission. And at one point, 75% of the men that were on our long-term discipleship, Christian discipleship program, were struggling with this heroin addiction. We are not just serving a population anymore of men who are just struggling with alcohol, as Reverend C.C. Thomas back in 1943 was. Where at the time, believe it or not, they left the guest sleep in their house. They took them in, and then the next day they would take them out to a local restaurant and provide them lunch or dinner. We are living in a very, very, very different culture where there are no moral boundaries. Absolute truths are being challenged. What is right and what is wrong has been enormously compromised. God is being taken out of the picture in the homes, in the schools, in the workforce, and many other areas. And we know this for a fact. Because as our guests come in to the mission and we disciple them, many of them don't know anything about Noah and the ark. They don't know anything about David and Goliath. They don't know anything about Jesus Christ. And they're asking, who is this God? It's a foreign language to them. Our Bible studies have changed because of this. As we introduce the Bible to them and go over Bible terminology, it's a great opportunity for us, but it's also very sad to see where our culture has moved, and it has moved very rapidly. Men, women, and children, all coming out of different backgrounds, coming to the mission to seeking help. Guests who come out of generational poverty, guests who come out of careers, guests who come from colleges, guests who come out of middle class upbringing, as well as guests who come out of upper class status, athletes and professionals in the career, all have been to the mission. The other thing that I didn't put in here is that we are seeing guests that are coming out of the church that are coming to the mission. You don't know how many churches I have spoken at within the last several years where it's either a pastor or a member of the congregation who knows somebody that is involved in addiction. And some of these guests are coming out of upbringings in the church. And it's devastating to see that. What are they struggling with? Whether it's alcohol, it's crack cocaine, over-the-counter medication, prescription medication, pain medication, heroin, mental health, physical and mental abuse, depression, suicide, hopelessness, confusion, lack of direction, guilt, no value of life, no purpose, and so much more. A lot different back in 1943 when you were dealing with a person struggling with alcohol. We had some type of church upbringing. Today there's a face of hopelessness that when our guests come in that I've never seen as much as I see today. I remember a grandmother calling me. This was last year. She was very upset. Her grandson was staying with her. He was probably in his 30s. She didn't know what to do. She had prescription medication for the pain that she needed and noticed that it was coming up empty in her medicine cabinet. She questioned the grandson about this, which he denied. She actually started to sleep with her medication underneath her pillow. At night, when she was in bed, he would come into her room quietly, opening up her drawers, searching for the medication. A guest told me one time that sin will take you to a place that you would never have thought you would go. And we see that at the Haven of Rest Ministries. We have a great, great mission field right in our own backyard. Haven Rest Ministries is open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Last year, we served over 311,000 meals, provided 67,000 nights of lodging. We offer shower and clothing and a place to sleep at night. Chapel services provided every day at the mission for our guests in the morning time and the evening time. And believe it or not, as an organization, we have been challenged greatly by providing chapel service and speaking the gospel of Jesus Christ. A national survey done through, we're part of a membership called AGRM, which is the Association Gospel Rescue Mission. Every year we do a survey with 300 missions that are Christ-centered. At the Haven of Rest, over 90% of our guests that come through our doors want the spiritual aspect of what we're saying. Yes, we provide Christian counseling, discipleship classes, work therapy, education classes, career development classes, gardening classes, budgeting classes, partnering with the church for mentoring. So we have a social enterprise for the ladies, teaching them about accountability and responsibility. We help them save money when they start work again so they can pay for their apartment and electric and be able to purchase food. Cooking classes are provided because too many don't know how to cook. And all that's wonderful. But they need Jesus. And that's what we're about. All our programs are wrapped in God's Word. We offer the programs, but it's only God that can change the heart. And we have seen that over and over and over again. Our statement of faith that the mission is the purpose of the Haven of Rest Ministries is to serve and glorify God through a Christ-centered, life-changing programs of love and compassion that respond to the physical, emotional, and spiritual needs of disadvantaged men, women, and children without regard to race, color, creed, or social standing. That's what we're doing. And we will not change the course. You can change programs, but we will not change presenting the gospel of Jesus Christ. I remember a man that came to the Haven of Rest. I had worked for him with him for many years. He was intoxicated. He was a Vietnam vet. And he asked me a very profound question while he was in his state of condition. I was coming through the lobby of the mission, and he asked me, "Reverend Kaiser, what would we do without the Haven of Rest Ministries?" Very profound, but very thankful that God has provided a place of refuge for 74 years without taking government funding. God has provided. In Galatians 6:9, it says, "And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap, if we faint not." We need to keep pushing forward. There are too many lives and souls that are empty out there that need Christ. In Romans 10:14, it says, "How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher?" It is of great beauty when we share the gospel of Jesus Christ to those that are hopeless. Lives that have been struggling and bound in addiction and other issues. And I'll be honest with you, there are times when we see some of the conditions of when somebody comes into our door and I say, "There's just no way." But God's bigger than me. He's bigger than the Haven of Rest. And he proves us wrong over and over and over again. Life is full of destruction where marriages and jobs and all kinds of obstacles have occurred in their lives because of bad choices. And we have seen God restore those marriages, restore relationships with their children. We've seen people going back into the church and seeing them working back out in society. Are all of them successes? No. I would love them to be. But we do know, as Pastor said here earlier, we do know this. God's word does not come back void. We are just called to be his servants. We are called to preach the gospel. We are called to share Christ. We are called to offer them hope that comes through Jesus Christ. We are called to point them to the cross and what Christ did for us. we'll let God do the rest. I'm going to close here because I see I'm a little bit past time. Very quickly here. And I want to thank you, but I want to close with just one more quick story. I remember when I was doing a service one evening, and I'll try to make this quick. There was a gentleman that was sitting in the chapel, and after the service, he came up to me. I hadn't seen him for a long time. He actually went through the Haven of Rest program, and I hadn't seen him for about 4 years. Well, he came up to share with me at the very end that he did very well after he left the mission. But about 2 years into working and having his own place, he slipped. And this can happen. So he ended up going into another program that was close. He's doing very well at that program, and they gave him the privilege on Wednesday night to go to church on Wednesday night. A lot of programs won't do that. We'll do that, but a lot of programs won't. So he started going to church on Wednesday night every week consistently, and he said, one Wednesday night, instead of turning right, he said, I made a left turn. And he said, when I took that left, he said, I could feel God speaking to my heart that you're supposed to be going right, you're supposed to be going to church. He said, I didn't listen. Well, as he kept on walking, he ended up in what he calls a bad location, what we call old school, old neighborhood area. And he bumped up with the guy. They started talking, and in the midst he said this. God, through all of this that he was doing, he knew he was wrong because God kept on telling him, you're in danger. And in the midst of all that, he didn't listen. So one thing, they started sharing conversation. They ended up talking about going to a drug house in the Akron area. So they started going to this drug house, and as they were walking, they went up to the first house, knocked on the door. Now, you have to understand, being what we understand with the guests that we minister to, when you go to a drug house in Akron, 100% of the time, they're going to have the drugs there. Well, they knocked on the door. The guy came out and said, we have no drugs. Came down the steps, and the Lord said to this man, sorry, this guy's sharing this to me after chapel service. He said, the Lord told me that he's providing a way out for me through this temptation. But he didn't listen, so he went to the second house, knocked on the door. Person opened up the door, and they had no drugs there either. So he came down and walked away. And the Lord says, I am providing you a way out here. You need to take this door. And he refused. Well, I went to the third house. Obviously, the third house had the goods. And he took a horrible fall. He ended up doing time in the penitentiary. But he came up to me to share this. And he said this, Jeff, he says, I'm not here blaming God because God was faithful and provided me a way out. It was me who refused the escape. God is faithful. And that's just one story out of many stories that we hear all the time. That God is speaking to the hearts of those that are in dire need, who are facing hopelessness. And that's what we're doing at the Haven of Rest. We are sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ because we know that to change the heart can only come through Christ. We can take care of everything on the out, but it's the inside that we are. It's critical to us. We won't change. We will stay the course like we've done for 74 years. So thank you. Let me close in prayer here. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this time to share just some of the work that you're doing at the Haven of Rest, but you're not doing it only through the Haven of Rest, Lord. You're doing it through our partners and our friends through the church who pray for us and support us and come down and volunteer. We thank you for that. Because this is not just a battle at Haven of Rest. We need many friends this, to see where our culture is today, to see our younger generation of 18 to 45 year olds coming in and looking in their eyes and seeing confusion and hopelessness. It's heartbreaking. So Lord, we do pray, Lord, that your hand and your grace and your strength and your power would be upon not only this church but all the Haven of Rest as we today as we are here, as I'm here today, as we are ministering to the many men and women and children that come through those doors. I thank you for giving me the opportunity to share here, and I thank you for this wonderful church. I pray all this in Christ's name. Amen.